from Sunday night. In verse 32, we'll start with verse 32 and look at the end of the chapter, and then we'll read a little bit into chapter 10. Just to kind of tie, keep the story tied together, and then in chapter 10, it's just all this is just a continuation, just keeps going for now, and so we'll look at this in sections. Look at it in sections for now. So in verse 32, let's start there. And before we go there, let's remember that in the last study, we talked about Paul's salvation and what happened after that, what happened with him after that, and the Lord began working with him. And as he began to meet with others and other believers, and we left off, he was in Jerusalem, and so we kind of leave off with Paul for now, and we go back to Peter. So in verse 32 it says, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda." Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about Peter. Remember, Peter and John were going through Jerusalem, and people were bringing their sick and their lame and blind and deaf, and people had all kinds of ailments and immoralities and all that, and were bringing them out into the streets and laying them out and hoping that Peter's shadow would just fall upon them and would heal them. And it seems that that's how the Lord was working in that. That all he had to do was just walk by, and his shadow fall on him, and the Lord would heal him. And Peter was doing all this in the Lord's name. Remember that. Don't forget about that. That's very important, because Peter was not doing this in his own name, and he was not seeking honor and glory for it himself. He gave God the glory for all of it. Here, Peter, and there's no mention of John here, it's just Peter, so we don't know if he was by himself or not. It's just as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. Lydda was a smaller city than Jerusalem. It was, I believe, kind of southwest of Jerusalem, if I remember right. I looked at a map earlier, and we'll see where he goes to Joppa also here in a few minutes. But Lydda was kind of in the it was a little ways to the coast. Joppa's on the coast. Lydda was not. It was just the best I could tell from looking at a map. Looks like about between 10 and 15 miles from Joppa inland, and less than 20 for sure. But it's still a good walk. You know, if he's walking, like it did mostly in their day, it's still a good walk. You think about, someplace that's 10, 15 miles from here, and imagine trying to walk that. And we can't even fathom that today, because we got our cars, or, you know, if you're a kid, you got to, even on a bicycle, you know, that's pretty far to go. You're not going to get there in just a few minutes. So he's going down, and notice it says he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. There's people meeting there. Is there a church there? It doesn't tell us that yet. So we don't know what's there. We just know that there's some saints there. There's some believers there. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. This man had been bedridden for 8 years. He said he's a man. He's not You know, in other places we see where he talks, he mentions people and they're either a boy or a girl or a young man or whatever. We don't know how old he is. It doesn't tell us. But he's been 8 years in bed and sick of a palsy. And there's multiple, you know, different types of palsies. If he's in bed, sick with it, more than likely it's one of the ones that paralyzes you. There are those palsies that are similar to a stroke, or that it can even cause a stroke. There are some that, the ones where even though you're paralyzed in your extremities, your limbs will still jerk and move and uncontrollably. And so we don't know any more than this, that he is sick with a palsy, and what and the palsy he has him bedridden. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ make thee whole. Notice he does this in the name of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Not in his name, not in somebody else's name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. As we've seen in the past, in our readings, this man doesn't hesitate. He immediately rises up. He immediately gets out of bed. And Peter tells him to make his bed. He'll get out of your bed and make it and clean it up. He rose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron, which was another town close by, saw him and turned to the Lord. People were saved because of this act. The Lord used this as a witness. Remember, we talked much about the apostles and the gifts that the what's referred to today is as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or sometimes referred to as in other names, the sign gifts. Some refer to them as they were actually doing these things. They weren't fake. They were real. They're not like what we see today. They were actually. People were actually being healed from these things. They didn't. It wasn't all smoke and mirrors. It was actually happening. And this man was actually healed. And because he did this in the name of Jesus Christ, people were saved. People believed. It says, and turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord for their salvation. 36. And there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. So first thing we see about her, she's from Joppa. She lives in Joppa, and she's a disciple. What does that mean? That means that she's a child of God, that she is a follower of Christ. She's, in other places we've seen where he talks about disciples, they are church members. They are people who are faithful in one of the Lord's churches. It doesn't say that she is a member of a church here, but if she's a disciple of Christ, that I think if we go by what we've read in other places in this reading in Acts, that tells us that she's a member of one of the Lord's churches in that area, in that city. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And alms deeds, it's a word we don't hear today. It simply means that she was doing good deeds. We think of alms in some places in the scripture, we think we hear or read of alms and are talking about like a tithe or, it's really more of, offering, much it's, what would be above a tithe. In this case, it's if you look up the word alms deeds and you find a dictionary that is true to the King James Version, alms deeds is part of the definition is it's just she was doing good deeds and doing them in the name of Christ. She was a witness for Christ, and we already saw where she's a disciple, so she's a true follower of Christ. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. So she dies, she gets sick and dies, and they go through the burial, what we would call it an embalming process, but they did it a little different back then. But they prepare the body for burial, and they've placed her in an upper room for viewing. That was the custom. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So this woman had a craft. She had a business of some sort where she was making, it says coats and garments. She made clothing. That's what she did for a living. She's died. She's well thought of in the community, looks like, because well thought of that the other people there, says, if you look in verse 38, it says, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. This is talking about the other church members, that she was where she was a member, where she was a member of. They had enough respect for her and were grieving enough for her that they didn't want to see her go. And that's how we are most of the time. That comes natural to us, even to those of us who are saved. It's a hard thing to lose a loved one. And we don't know how old this woman was. Could be that she was not that old, that she wasn't of old age. You know, maybe that's why that was their desire. So Peter rose and went with them. He didn't hang around. When they come and told him what was going on, he went with them. And part of their custom, you see there that all the widows stood around him weeping. The women, the older women especially, were the ones that were in charge of taking care of a body when it was after a death. And you even see that when our Lord died on the cross, it was the women who prepared the body for the burial. It wasn't the men, it was the women. So this is carrying on that custom. And here it mentions that in particular, it's widows. As they were weeping, they're showing the things that this woman had made for them. Remember, she did, it was full of good works and alms deeds, it says. But Peter put them all forth. In other words, he run them out. He turned them aside and knelt down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lift her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. So Peter raises her from the dead. And he does it through the power of the Holy Ghost, not through his own power, not through his own anything that he has done on his own. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't see these things today. Now, some will try to say that it's there, but it's we know also Satan has his duplications out there of what the Lord does, and you have to be careful, because these things are not for our day. They were for their day and not ours. So does the Lord raise people from the dead today? He can if he so chooses. We know that. There are people, maybe some of you here, who according to the doctors, should have been dead. And the Lord stopped it. You know, there's been some who have been on machines, and when they turn the machine off, they come back. And I don't mean come back from the dead, but they come back. They come back to life. They get better. And I'm trying to think who it was. There's somebody that recently told me they had that happen to them a few years ago. The doctors had told them, you don't have long to live, just a few hours. And they were sent to hospice, and it wasn't a day or two later, and they were back out and back home. The Lord does that sometimes, but not in the ways that He did when the way we see in the New Testament with the apostles. In verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Here again, we see many, many people have heard what happened. And it's known throughout all of Joppa, all of the city, what has happened. And many believed in the Lord. Many people were saved because of this act. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. And this is talking about Peter. Peter decides to stay in Joppa for a time. Now we'll go on, and we'll read through, we'll go through verse 8, at least, in chapter 10, because this kind of continues on with the story about Simon the tanner. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Here's a centurion in the Roman army, Cornelius, and he's in Caesarea. This is a different city. This, just looking on the map earlier, I looks like Caesarea is probably 50, 60 miles from Joppa. It's not that close. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. The man's been saved. You got a believer in a centurion, an officer in the Roman army, and he's not just any regular officer. He's in the Italian band. In other words, he's in some type of elite force of some kind. He's not just in the regular army. He's somebody. He gave much. He says one that feared. He's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. So it's not just him, but it's all those in his house, his family, his servants, everybody there in his house feared God, which gave much alms to the people. So he's like Lydda, Tabitha. Sorry, like Tabitha in Joppa, he's doing good works among the people. He's a very gracious man, a very giving man. And he prays to God regularly. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And what an honor for, this is an angel of God came to him and told him this, that your prayers and almsgivings have come up for a memorial before God. And we don't see anywhere where this man, Cornelius, doesn't go to his head. He's very humble about it. And when he, verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, there's two Simons here. Don't get them confused. You've got Simon the Tanner, who Peter has gone to stay with for a time in Joppa. And then you got Peter, who his surname, or Peter's name is Simon, but his surname is Peter. We know him as Peter, but remember in the Gospels he was first known as Simon Peter. And so don't get the two confused. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So he doesn't call just anybody. He calls two of his house servants, and a devout soldier. In other words, he's handpicked men who are believers to go and get Peter, to go seek Peter. Let's go ahead and, we got a little bit of time. We'll go ahead and read through verse 16. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the house to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. So Peter says back in verse 9, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. So this is talking about Cornelius' servants and his soldier that he sent. While they're on their journey, on their way to meet Peter, Peter, while he's waiting on them, Peter is, at least as far as we know at this point, he doesn't know they're coming yet. But while they're on their way, Peter goes upon the top of the house to pray. And if you ever see, you can see it on the news sometimes. If you see pictures of Israel, you still see the houses they have over there, some of the older houses in particular, and even some of the newer ones, they fashion them the same way. They have a place on the rooftop where people can get out of the house. And before air conditioning, that was a way to cool off in the evenings. So he's up there to pray. And while he's up there to pray, says he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So while he's waiting on supper, he's praying, and while he's praying, he falls into a trance. Some say he fell asleep. Well, that's not what it says. A trance is different than falling asleep. He was fully awake, and it says he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. So we're not going to get in deep into this yet. We'll come back and look at this more next time, but we'll go ahead and read through verse 16, because there's a lot more here than we can do tonight. But he says, in verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And this is talking about the wild beasts and creeping things that he sees in the fowls. He lists a whole list of animals here, four-footed beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. There's things that a Jew was not allowed to eat. And the Lord knew that. Peter knew that. Peter, being raised a Jew, he knew what the law said. And remember, Peter's, even though the Lord has saved him, and he's one of the Lord's apostles, there are still aspects of the law that they're, just because they've grown up with them, they become tradition. But the Lord tells him, you're gonna kill and eat them. Verse 14, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that was common or unclean. Obviously, Peter's never been very hungry, huh? Because now we say that jokingly, but in all reality, it's because he was a Jew. It was a tradition. There are different reasons people give for why the Lord gave Moses the laws on the dietary laws in the Old Testament during the Exodus. And we'll try to look at some of those next time. But the dietary laws were a serious thing for Jews, and they still are today. There are things they won't eat, but it's part of the fact that they carry things too far. There was a time and a place. It's like the gifts, the sign gifts we talked about. There was a time and a place for those dietary laws. They're not forced on us today. So, we'll look at those in more depth maybe next time. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God's, we know there are things that God has created that we can't eat as humans. There are things that our bodies are not designed to eat. There are things that are poisonous that we can't eat. Animals, plants, there's things that we just, somewhere down through history, some of our ancestors seen their buddy over here eat this weed and he killed over dead, and they're like, okay, next time we won't eat that. You know, that's how it worked. In Peter's case, there were things in the law that told them not to eat things. Sometimes it was because it was poisonous, because it wasn't good for them. Sometimes it was because God was just trying to make them be obedient and follow him. And sometimes it was God telling them that, you know, because you're wandering the desert for 40 years, it's probably not a good thing for you to eat some certain things. You think about it, if you're in those conditions and you're wandering the desert for that long period of time, there are certain meats that you probably shouldn't eat because they're going to affect your body in ways that you don't want it to when you're in that atmosphere, in that area. So, like I said, those are things we'll try to look at. It's an interesting study. We'll look at some of that next time. Anyway, we'll stop there for tonight, and we'll go on. We'll go over that more next time, and we'll go on and through the rest of the story of Cornelius also next time. So, we'll close with that.